shown would be Cribs, A New Age. The other dates and locations for the movies will be Sonic the Hedgehog, June 4th, Hill Park, Aladdin, June 18th, Dennis the Menace Park, Frozen 2, July 9th, C.J. Kelly Park, Onward, July 23rd, Beale Park, Trolls World Tour, August 6th, Hogan Park, Toy Story 4, August 20th, Centennial Park. Each movie will start at dusk. Don't forget your lawn chairs. For a complete list of movies in the park, please visit midlandtexas.gov/movies.
This summer, Recording Library of West Texas Radio is having some fun with our audiobook shows with specific themes for each book hour. As we did last year for the noon book hour, we'll be reading light and fun beach reads. On the history book hour at 9 p.m. nightly, we'll spend some time learning about the lives of some of the biggest celebrities with memoirs and biographies. Actors, actresses, singers, and sports heroes will be included. On the Armchair Adventure Hour at 10 p.m. nightly, we turn to the most popular genre of fiction audiobooks, Westerns. We'll read some of the best-loved Western books, including Lonesome Dove. And on the Mystery Hour, Monday through Friday at 10 p.m., we'll present some of the most popular mystery books that have ever been published, some selections from famous authors, such as Agatha Christie. We'll have more details on specific books and when they'll be airing in the coming days on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 88 and clear. Tonight, it will be cloudy with a low in the low 70s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
This program is made available to the IAAIS Program Share and was recorded at the Audio Reading Service of the Ellen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for people with print impairments.
Welcome. This is Diabetic News, and I'm your reader, Hadley, with the Audio Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading from Diabetes Self-Management online and from the magazine. Starting with online, turmeric or turmeric? Anyway, turmeric and diabetes, 10 ways turmeric can help. One diabetes medicine may lower blood sugar and cholesterol, protect your eyes and kidneys, relieve pain, prevent cancer, and improve your sex life. It also tastes good. This medicine is turmeric, made from the root curcuma longa, a member of the ginger family. About 2% to 5% of turmeric is the yellow-orange powder called curcumin, which gives curry powder its beautiful color. The taste has a bite to it, but with the right recipe, you'll love it. Or you can take capsules. Turmeric has been used for centuries in Indian and Chinese medicine. They give it for pain relief, improved digestion, and liver function, and for its antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. Curcumin may also help treat aspects of diabetes, both type 1 and type 2. A scientific paper from the Beijing University of Chinese Medicine and McGill University reviewed multiple studies of curcumin from around the world. Most of these are studies of diabetic rats and mice. They need to be repeated in humans to gain scientific acceptance. But I'm convinced of the benefits of turmeric and diabetes management. Turmeric and diabetes. Number one, in many of these studies, curcumin reduced blood sugar and cholesterol levels. In addition, number two, curcumin prevented liver fat accumulation. Rats who consumed curcumin had reduced liver fat on a high-fat diet compared to rats not consuming curcumin. Number three, curcumin suppressed the activities of white blood cells called macrophages that cause inflammation. This action of turmeric, curcumin could potentially slow down many complications of diabetes, in which inflammation plays a role. Number 4. Curcumin improves insulin function. It reduces insulin resistance by helping insulin get into cells, perhaps on the AMPK pathway that exercise also opens. In a study of 240 people in Thailand, curcumin prevented prediabetes from progressing to diabetes. Roughly 16% of the 116 people on placebo, inactive treatment, progressed to type 2 diabetes within 9 months. Nobody in the group receiving 250 milligrams daily of curcuminoids from supplements progressed. In a rat version of type 1, a derivative of curcumin nearly completely reversed the disease over 10 months. Islet cells regrew and insulin levels increased. Number 5. Curcumin protects beta cells, which produce insulin. Studies found that beta cells grew faster and lived longer in rats who consumed curcumin. Number 6. Curcumin supports kidneys. It promotes clearance of creatinine and urea from the blood, which is what kidneys are supposed to do. Number 7. Curcumin fights cancer. According to Cancer Research UK, it seems to be able to kill cancer cells and prevent more from growing. It has the strongest effects on breast cancer, bowel cancer, stomach cancer, and skin cancer cells. Number 8. Curcumin improved erection function in rats who had diabetes-induced erectile dysfunction. It apparently did this by increasing blood flow to their genitals. Number 9. Curcumin speeded stomach emptying in rats. It improved digestion. This could potentially be a valuable treatment for those with the complications called gastroparesis, which we wrote about. Number 10. Curcumin is an antioxidant. Oxygen is needed for life. However, oxygen also corrodes things, as you can see iron when iron rusts into ferric oxide. Molecules called ROS, reactive oxygen species, can rust blood vessels and organs. In some studies, curcumin was found to scavenge ROS from the body, thus protecting healthy cells from oxidation. Turmeric, curcumin, cumin, and curry. What's the best way to get the benefits of curcumin? It can get confusing. Turmeric is a root, sold whole or ground up. You can use it to cook with, sprinkle it on food, or buy it in capsules. Curcumin is the much-studied active ingredient in turmeric. Many sellers use the terms curcumin and turmeric to mean the same thing. Cumin is a different thing altogether. A spice made from the seeds of a flowering plant, it has no curcumin, but does have antioxidant effects of its own. Curry powder often contains turmeric, cumin, and other seasonings. If you like the taste, it might be a good way to get your curcumin dose. Curcumin is poorly absorbed. Curcumin has the disadvantage of being hard for the body to absorb. You don't get much of it, and it's quickly cleared away from the body. One reason curry powder is so healthy is that it often contains black pepper. Black pepper contains a chemical called piperine that keeps curcumin in the blood longer. You can also buy turmeric curcumin capsules that include piperine. You can cook delicious food with turmeric powder. The website Kitchen suggests adding it to eggs, scrambles, vegetables, rice, soups, smoothies, or making tea with milk and honey. You can make your own curry powder with recipes. I can see the advantage of making your own starting with whole turmeric root, because then you'll know what you're getting and can make it less or more spicy for your taste. You will have to ask to find out what ingredients a particular curry powder or turmeric capsule contains. If you buy capsules, the supplement website Smarter Reviews says the top ingredient on the label should be pure turmeric curcumin. Some capsules are full of fillers and don't have much curcumin at all. Vanihari, the food babe, says, buy organic, high-quality ground turmeric or fresh turmeric root from the produce section, not some random powder in a bottle. The prices of capsules vary dramatically. I saw prices online ranging from $8 for 100 capsules up to $45 for 60 capsules. I'm sure quality varies sharply as well. This could be a healing cooking adventure for you. I hope you will try to get more turmeric in food or take the capsules after checking with your doctor, and let us know how it goes. David Spiro, BSN-RN, a nurse for 25 years at University of California, San Francisco, and Kaiser Hospitals, and one of the first professional health coaches. Nurse Spiro is author of Diabetes, Sugar-Coated Crisis, and The Art of Getting Well, Maximizing Health When You Have a Chronic Illness, as well as co-author of Diabetes Heroes and the Diabetes Chapter in Where There Is No Doctor. He writes for Diabetes Self-Management, Pain-Free Living, and Everyday Health. Eating too much salt may dampen immune cells and increase inflammation. Consuming too much salt may interfere with immune system function in a way that increases inflammation, as suggested by a new study published in the journal Circulation. It has long been known that a high salt intake increases the risk of developing certain health conditions, especially hypertension, high blood pressure, and is linked to a higher risk of death. It's also known that sodium levels in the blood increase following meals containing salt, and that areas of the body where there is a high level of inflammation can accumulate sodium from the blood. To help understand how salt intake may be related to inflammation, researchers designed a study in which sodium levels outside cells were manipulated to mimic the effects of eating salt in the body. They then looked at the effects this had on cells called mononuclear phagocytes, MNP, which are integral to the immune system. Immune cell metabolism changes found in response to high salt concentrations. As noted in a press release from the Max Delbruck Center for Molecular Medicine in Berlin, where the research took place, previous research has shown that small increases in sodium in the blood reduce the amount of energy produced in mitochondria, sometimes known as the power plants of cells in our body. The latest study shed some light on why this happens in the context of immune cells. When these immune cells were exposed to high salt concentrations, their metabolism, use of energy, changed within 3 hours. Salt was found to disrupt the respiratory chain that's essential to cellular function, causing the cells to consume less oxygen. The cells produce less ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which is the universal fuel for cells in the body. Having less ATP means that cells can't do as much chemical work, such as synthesizing proteins and other molecules. In response to this lower level of ATP, immune cells mature differently in a way that makes them more effective at fighting off infections. But these adaptations may also promote inflammation, which could increase the risk of cardiovascular problems. In addition to studying these specific immune cells, a team of researchers also conducted a pair of studies involving humans as part of a collaboration with Charité, University Berlin, a leading research hospital. In one study, healthy men took a 6-gram salt supplement in addition to their normal diet each day for 14 days. And in another, the researchers looked at immune cells after participants ate a delivered pizza. They found that the dampening effect of salt intake on immune cells, mitochondria, was seen not just in participants who took the salt supplements, but also in the other participants after eating a single pizza containing 10 grams of salt. Blood samples taken 3 to 8 hours after eating the pizza showed that while this effect was pronounced after 3 hours, it was barely noticeable after 8 hours. The results suggest that cellular changes are unlikely to last if people eat high-salt meals now and then. But a steady diet of high salt could lead to persistent inflammation. The next step, researchers noted, is to investigate the effects of high salt intake on other cells in the body. And since mitochondria exists in almost every type of cell, they have their work cut out for them. But since mitochondria are especially prevalent in muscle cells, neurons, nerve cells, and egg cells, these cell types are all strong candidates for future research on salt intake. Now from Diabetes Self-Management Magazine, Summer 2021. Editor's note. Dear readers, summertime is here. If the long sunny days and warmer weather have you feeling energized and ready to put a renewed focus on some of your health goals, do we have the issue for you? If you smoke, quitting may be a goal that's high on your list. Smoking affects many aspects of your health, including diabetes management. And while kicking the habit can be very difficult, millions of Americans have quit smoking, so it can be done, and it's definitely worth the effort. Get strategies for stopping and learn where to find help in kicking butts. Hands and feet are often taken for granted, but if you're dealing with diabetes-related complications in these areas, you know how important they are for day-to-day functioning. Learn about the different conditions that make up diabetic hand syndrome and get pointers for dealing with problems affecting the hands and diabetes hand disorders. And put a focus on health care with taking steps toward healthy feet, where you'll learn about common foot conditions and get strategies for keeping your trotters in tip-top shape. And if you're planning to target improving your diet and losing weight, if needed, as your mid-year health goals, you'll want to check out the resources and some of our other fantastic features. You'll find tips for easing into an exercise program in Exercise for Beginners, guidance on ways to lose weight and keep it off in Tried and True Weight Loss Strategies, tips for a low-carb picnic in It's Picnic Time, and more. We hope you find the information in these pages helpful as you continue on your health journey this season and the whole year through. Have a wonderful summer. Diane Fennell, Editorial Director, Wellness Division. Brief, frequent exercise breaks can help blood vessels study. A main reason exercise is so beneficial for people with diabetes is because they're at higher risk for heart disease and reduced vascular function than people without diabetes. Vascular function is an indication of blood flow, of the diameter and tone of blood vessels, and of the health of a person's arteries. It's no surprise that prolonged sitting is a risk factor in heart disease for everyone, not just people with diabetes. And in these pandemic times, many of us find ourselves sitting more than ever. According to the authors of the new study, because of rapidly advancing technologies in workplaces, transportation, and home entertainment, fewer opportunities exist for incidental activity, creating many contexts of daily life that are conducive to prolonged sitting. So how do we counter the effect of sitting too much? To find out, the research team recruited 24 adults, ages 35 to 70, both male and female, who had type 2 diabetes for more than 3 months and who were considered to be inactive. That is, they sat for more than 5 hours a day and were not meeting recommended exercise guidelines. As far as the researchers were able to determine, this was the first study to analyze prolonged sitting and exercise periods in people with type 2 diabetes. Each of the participants completed 3 experimental conditions, each lasting 8 hours. In the first of the conditions, the subject sat for 8 hours without taking any exercise breaks. To achieve an absolute minimum activity, they were taken on their bathroom breaks in a wheelchair. In the second, the subjects took breaks every half hour, during which they did exercises, squats, leg lifts, and calf raises for 3 minutes. In the third condition, they took 6-minute exercise breaks once every hour. While experiencing these conditions and doing the exercises, the participants had various physical measurements evaluated, such as blood pressure, blood flow, and the diameter of the femoral artery, which supplies blood to the legs and feet. The researchers determined that, compared to constant sitting, both exercise conditions resulted in improved blood vessel function. However, the improvement was significantly greater in the second condition, in which the exercise periods were shorter but more frequent. It appears, therefore, that how often a person with type 2 diabetes exercises is more important for blood vessel health than how long the exercise lasts. As the researchers wrote, because blood vessel function deteriorates as type 2 diabetes progresses, it's possible that more frequent interruptions to sitting are needed to preserve blood flow to the legs. Our findings suggest that more frequent and shorter breaks may be more beneficial than longer, less frequent breaks for improvement in vascular function. They also said a high-frequency break strategy may be suitable in sedentary workplaces. Top picks: diabetes-friendly foods. GG Exceptional Fiber Scandinavian Fiber Crisp Bread. Does a cracker exist that isn't loaded with carbs, gives you a decent amount of fiber, and actually tastes good? GG Exceptional Fiber Scandinavian Fiber Crisp Bread does all this, as a matter of fact, and more. Weighing in at only 20 calories and 20 milligrams of sodium per cracker, this crisp bread is tasty plain or topped with your favorite nut butter, a boiled egg, some avocado, or a spread of cream cheese. It makes a perfect filling snack when those horrible hungries strike. One serving is one cracker, contains 20 calories and 6 grams of carbohydrate. Back to online diabetes self-management. 2-minute turkey wrap. Getting back into a routine and wondering what to pack in the lunchbox? This healthful sandwich is a quick and easy option that can be thrown together faster than you can say back to school. Ingredients. Prep time, 2 minutes. 1 8-inch flour tortilla. Use flavored tortilla if desired. 1 teaspoon horseradish sauce, not pure horseradish. 3 ounces deli sliced turkey breast. 1 slice 2/3 ounce fat-free American cheese. 1/4 cup alfalfa sprouts. Yield, 1 wrap. Serving size, 1 wrap. Spread tortilla lightly with horseradish sauce. Lay turkey over tortilla. Place cheese in center of tortilla over turkey, then top with sprouts. Fold in about 1 inch on the top and bottom of the tortilla, then roll up tortilla from left to right. Serve immediately or wrap tightly in plastic wrap and refrigerate for future use. 297 calories, 27 grams of carbohydrate, 36 grams of protein, 5 grams fat, 1 gram saturated fat, 414 milligrams sodium, 1 gram fiber. Exchanges per serving: 1 starch, 4 very lean meat, 1 fat, carbohydrate choice, 2. Lentil burgers. This zesty plant-based burger is low in calories but high in flavor. A dill and cucumber sauce tops a hearty lentil and mushroom-based patty, all put together on a crusty Kaiser roll. Ingredients: 1 can, about 14 ounces, fat-free, reduced sodium chicken broth. 1 cup dried lentils, sorted and rinsed. 1 small carrot, grated. 1/4 cup coarsely chopped mushrooms. 1 egg, 1/4 cup dry plain breadcrumbs, 3 tablespoons finely chopped onion, 2 to 4 clove garlics minced, 1 teaspoon dried thyme, nonstick cooking spray, 1/4 cup plain fat-free yogurt, 1/4 cup chopped seeded cucumber, 1/2 teaspoon dried mint, 1/4 teaspoon dried dill weed, 1/4 teaspoon black pepper, 1/8 teaspoon salt, dash hot pepper sauce optional, Kaiser rolls. Yield, 4 servings. Serving size, 1 lentil burger with about 1 tablespoon sauce without roll. Number 1, bring chicken broth to a boil in medium saucepan over high heat. Stir in lentils, reduce heat to low, simmer covered about 30 minutes or until lentils are tender and liquid is absorbed. Cool to room temperature. Number 2, place lentils, carrots, mushroom in a food processor or blender. Process until finely chopped, but not smooth. Some whole lentils should still be visible. Stir in egg, breadcrumbs, onion, garlic, and thyme. Refrigerate covered 2 to 3 hours. Number 3, shape lentil mixture into 4 1/2-inch thick patties. Spray large skillet with cooking spray. Heat over medium heat. Cook patties over medium-low heat about 10 minutes or until browned on both sides. Number 4, meanwhile for sauce, combine yogurt, cucumber, mint, dill, black pepper, salt, and hot pepper sauce, if desired, in a small bowl. Serve sauce over burgers. 124 calories, 21 grams carbohydrate, 9 grams of protein, 2 grams of fat, 1 gram saturated fat, 54 milligrams of cholesterol, 166 milligrams of sodium, 1 gram of fiber, exchanges per serving, 1/2 bread / starch, 2 1/2 vegetable, and 1/2 meat. Product review. Bug bite thing. Summer is almost here. It's time to start enjoying the great outdoors, whether it's a trip to the beach, a hike in the mountains, or an evening on the patio. Except, what about those pesky bugs? Getting bitten by a mosquito or stung by a bee or wasp can quickly put a damper on an otherwise enjoyable time. And if not treated properly, a bite may lead to an infection, which in turn can raise your blood sugars. No fun. If you do get bitten, there's now a way to fight back quickly. Bug bite thing. Bug bite thing is a suction tool that painlessly extracts insect saliva and venom from your skin, alleviating itching, stinging, and swelling. Unlike sprays, creams, and ointments, which only mask the problem, bug bite thing eliminates the problem in just 3 easy steps. Safe for use on children. Bug bite thing can also help remove splinters too. Don't be without this tool this summer. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Hadley with Diabetic News. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
This week on Texas Monthly Archives, we have 3 articles about the world-famous Chicken Ranch. We'll be reading the October 1973 long journalism piece called Closing Down LaGrange, and 2 shorter articles from the past decade, a memorial piece about the last madam at the Chicken Ranch from February 2012, and a reflective piece from May 2016 called The Road to the Chicken Ranch. Texas Monthly Archives, Thursday night at 7, Sunday afternoon at 2, and Monday at 1 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 87 and clear. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the low 70s. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the mid 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I am Morgan Madeline, bringing you Martha Stewart Living. I'll be reading from the May 2021 print edition of Martha Stewart Living magazine. The first story is Pretty in Pink, text by Christian Wright, recipes by Sarah Carey. Rhubarb is the taste of springtime past, of garden parties, crisp cocktails, and something baking in the kitchen. On the following pages, the old-fashioned vegetable, which often acts like fruit, invigorates a crop of new recipes. Top a tart, toss it in a cobbler, pickle it quick, or roast it for a compote you'll want to spoon onto everything. This seasonal star has serious range. Rhubarb Custard Tart. Rhubarb, once called pie fruit or pie plant, grew popular in English desserts in the 19th century, when sugar became widely available there. Here, it adorns a striking tart. The secret to success is blind baking the crust. Pop it in the oven before making the filling so it gets firm and crunchy, and you'll prevent a soggy bottom as the simple custard and scored rhubarb stalks get baked in. For the dough, you'll need 1.5 cups unbleached all-purpose flour plus more for dusting, 2 teaspoons sugar, 1 teaspoon kosher salt, we use diamond crystal, 10 tablespoons cold and salted butter cut into small pieces, and 4 to 5 tablespoons ice-cold water. For the filling, you will need 1 pound rhubarb halved lengthwise into 3/4-inch stalks if thick, 1 1/4 cup sugar, 1/3 cup unbleached all-purpose flour plus more for dusting, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 2 large eggs, 1/2 cup heavy cream, and 1 teaspoon pure vanilla paste or extract. Step 1. Dough. Pulse flour, sugar, and salt in a food processor until combined. Add butter and pulse until a mixture resembles coarse meal, with some pea-sized pieces remaining. Drizzle 4 tablespoons ice water over mixture. Pulse several times to combine. Add more water as needed, pulsing until mixture holds together when pinched. Shape dough into a rectangle and wrap in plastic. Refrigerate at least 1 hour and up to 1 day, or freeze up to 3 months. Thaw completely in refrigerator before using. Step 2. Preheat oven to 375 degrees. On a lightly floured surface, roll dough into a 12 by 15 inch rectangle, about 1/8 inch thick. Transfer to a 9 by 12 and a half inch rimmed baking sheet or a fluted tart pan with a removable bottom, fitting dough into corners and folding over extra to create a double-layered edge. Refrigerate 15 minutes. Line dough with parchment and fill to top with dry rice or beans or pie weights. Bake until edges are golden and bottom is beginning to dry out, 30 to 35 minutes. Remove parchment and pie weights. Continue baking until golden brown on bottom, 10 to 12 minutes. Let cool 15 minutes. Step 3. Filling. Meanwhile, cut rhubarb into 11-inch lengths. If some are shorter, that's okay. Using a sharp knife, score rhubarb along rounded sides on a diagonal at 2-inch intervals. This helps heat penetrate and break up the fibers, so the tart is easier to slice once cooked. Step 4. In a medium bowl, whisk together 1 cup sugar, flour, salt, eggs, cream, and vanilla. Pour mixture into cooled crust. Arrange rhubarb lengthwise over top, scored sides up. Sprinkle with remaining 1/4 cup sugar. Bake until tart is puffed golden and just set in center, 45 to 55 minutes. Let cool on a wire rack at least 1 hour before serving. To serve, run a spatula under tart to release from sheet, then slide onto a cutting board. Cut into squares. Serve at room temperature or chilled. Tart is best eaten the day it's made, but can be refrigerated, covered up to 1 day. Active time 35 minutes. Total time 2 hours, 25 minutes plus cooling. Serves 10 to 12. Green salad with roasted beets and pickled rhubarb. Fresh forkfuls. It's usually coaxed in a sweeter direction, but rhubarb brightens savory recipes in some cultures too. See Iranian lamb stew and English chutney. An American example is pickles. Our brine of white vinegar, sugar, and star anise gives them a bread and butter pickle flavor made for slaws, sandwiches, and this salad of roasted beets and tender lettuces. A splash of the juice joins mustard and fresh dill in the dressing. 2 more lip-smacking ideas. Mix them with chopped cilantro and parsley, olive oil, and pepper flakes for a chimichurri-like sauce on pork chops, or stir the liquid into a shrub. For this recipe, you'll need 3 medium golden beets, 1 pound total, 5 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, 3 to 4 pieces pickled rhubarb, recipe to follow, thinly sliced on the bias, 1/2 cup, plus 2 tablespoons pickling liquid, 2 teaspoons Dijon mustard, 2 tablespoons chopped fresh dill or mint, plus more sprigs or leaves for serving. 2 to 3 heads little gem lettuce, or 1 to 2 small heads Boston or bib lettuce, torn into bite-sized pieces, 8 cups. 1. Preheat oven to 400 degrees. Scrub beets, then place on a piece of parchment-lined foil. Drizzle with 1 tablespoon oil. Season with salt and pepper. Wrap in foil and roast until fork tender, about 1 hour. Let stand until cool enough to handle. Rub off skins and discard. Have beets and cut into 1/2-inch wedges. You should have 1 1/2 cups. 2. Whisk pickling liquid into mustard, then gradually whisk in remaining 4 tablespoons oil and dill. Season to taste. Toss lettuce, beets, and rhubarb with 2 to 3 tablespoons dressing. Season to taste. Serve sprinkled with more herbs and drizzled with more dressing. Active time 20 minutes. Total time 1 hour 25 minutes. Serve 6. And for the pickled rhubarb, this condiment is super versatile. Slice it and add it to a tangy slaw with fennel and cabbage. Include it on a cheese plate, or mix chopped pieces with cilantro, parsley, olive oil, and red pepper flakes to serve with grilled steak or pork chops. For this, you'll need 12 ounces rhubarb, 1 1/4 cups distilled white vinegar, 1/3 cup sugar, 1 1/4 teaspoons kosher salt, 1/2 teaspoon whole black peppercorns, 1 star anise pod, 3 cloves garlic smashed and peeled. Remove rhubarb peel in alternating half-inch strips, creating stripes. Cut rhubarb into 4 by 3/4 inch pieces. If thick, half or quarter lengthwise, then cut into 4-inch pieces. In a saucepan, bring vinegar, sugar, 1/3 cup water, salt, peppercorns, and star anise to a boil. Fill a heat-proof quart jar with rhubarb and garlic. Pour boiling liquid in to cover. Let cool completely, then cover and refrigerate at least 24 hours and up to 1 month. Active time 10 minutes, total time 1 day, makes 1 quart. Roasted rhubarb and sour cherry compote. This intensely sweet, tart condiment is as versatile as it is vivacious. Sour cherries, fresh come late June, but frozen are fine too, pack a punch and keep their color when roasted with rhubarb and a splash of orange juice. It'll last in the fridge for at least a week. Swirl it into yogurt. The powerful flavors mingle well with the mild taste of fermented milk and hold up nicely to the thick, super tangy Middle Eastern version, labneh. Mix it in a gimlet. Pureed compote, gin, fresh lime juice, seltzer, and an ice-filled shaker are the makings of your new favorite aperitif. Serve it with bread and cheese. It's a welcome foil to an extra sharp cheddar, but looks lovely and enticing on any hors d'oeuvres plate, and bonus, acts like jam when mashed on toast for breakfast. For the roasted rhubarb and sour cherry compote, you'll need 12 ounces rhubarb cut into 3-inch lengths, halved if thick, 8 ounces fresh or frozen sour cherries, about 2 cups, defrosted if frozen, pitted or left on stems, if desired. 3 strips orange zest, each about 3 inches long and 1/2 inch wide, plus 2 tablespoons fresh juice, 1/2 cup sugar, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 2 teaspoons distilled white vinegar, 2 cardamom pods crushed. Step 1. Preheat oven to 425 degrees. Toss rhubarb and cherries with orange zest and juice, sugar, salt, vinegar, and cardamom. Spread mixture into a single layer in a 9x13-inch baking dish or a 9x12.5-inch rimmed baking sheet, quarter-sheet pan. Roast until softened and juicy about 20 minutes. Let stand 5 minutes. 2. Using a spatula, carefully transfer rhubarb and cherries to a shallow dish. Pour juices from baking dish into a small saucepan. Boil until reduced and thickened slightly about 2 minutes. Pour over rhubarb. Serve warm or at room temperature or refrigerate in an airtight container up to 1 week. Active time 15 minutes, total time 45 minutes, makes about 2 cups. Roasted rhubarb and cherry gimlet. For this you'll need 1/4 cup roasted rhubarb and sour cherry compote, plus 3 tablespoons syrup, 2 ounces fresh lime juice plus wheels for serving, 8 ounces gin, seltzer chilled for serving. Blend rhubarb cherry mixture and syrup in a blender until smooth. You should have about 1/2 cup. Working in 2 batches, combine rhubarb puree, lime juice, and gin in a cocktail shaker filled with ice. Shake until cold, about 10 seconds. Divide among 4 lowball or rocks glasses filled with ice. Top with seltzer and lime wheels. Active in total time 10 minutes, serves 4. Strawberry rhubarb rolled pavlova. This tubular take on a mounded pavlova is at once easy and elegant. A voluminous meringue gets spread thinly on a parchment-lined baking sheet and cooks at 375 degrees. The high temperature, meringues usually bake at 200 or 250, renders it golden and a little crisp on top but fluffy underneath. Once it's cooled on a rack, you sprinkle it with confectioner's sugar, spread on rhubarb raspberry jam followed by sliced strawberries and whipped cream, and roll it up. Top it with more confectioner's sugar and lightly macerated berries, and revel in the sugar high. You can make this confection up to a day ahead. Wrap it snugly in parchment and keep it in the refrigerator until you're ready to top and serve it. For the pavlova, you'll need unsalted butter, softened for brushing, 5 large egg whites, a pinch of kosher salt, we use Diamond Crystal, 1 cup granulated sugar, 2 teaspoons pure vanilla extract, 2 teaspoons cornstarch, 2 teaspoons distilled white vinegar, and confectioner's sugar for dusting. For the filling, you'll need 1 cup rhubarb raspberry jam, recipe to follow, 1 cup sliced strawberries plus 1 cup whole or halved for serving, 3/4 cup heavy cream, 2 tablespoons granulated sugar, and 1 teaspoon fresh lemon juice. Step 1. For the pavlova, preheat oven to 400 degrees. Brush a 9 by 12.5 inch rimmed baking sheet, quarter sheet pan, with butter. Line with parchment, leaving a 2-inch overhang on long sides. Butter parchment. Whisk egg whites with salt on medium-high speed until soft peaks form, about 2 minutes. Continue whisking, gradually adding granulated sugar, until fully combined and stiff, glossy peaks form, 7 to 9 minutes more. Beat in vanilla, then cornstarch and vinegar. Spread mixture evenly into prepared sheet. 2. Reduce oven temperature to 375 degrees and bake until pavlova puffs and collapses slightly and turns golden brown and crisp on top, about 30 minutes. Remove from oven, let cool on sheet on a wire rack 5 minutes. Lightly dust top with confectioner's sugar. Turn out onto wire rack lined with a new piece of parchment, then peel off baked parchment and let cool 20 minutes more. 3. For the filling. Spread jam evenly over pavlova, leaving a 1/2 inch border. Top with sliced strawberries in a single layer. Beat cream on medium-high speed to stiff peaks, then spread evenly over berries. Starting from one long end, roll up pavlova to form a tight log. Lift with parchment from rack to make rolling easier. And place on a serving platter, seam side down. If not serving immediately, refrigerate wrapped in parchment up to 1 day. 4. When ready to serve, toss whole or halved strawberries with granulated sugar and lemon juice. Let stand 15 minutes. Top pavlova with macerated berries and sprinkle with more confectioner's sugar. Slice and serve. Active time 20 minutes. Total time 1 hour 35 minutes. Serves 10 to 12. And for the rhubarb raspberry jam, you will need 1 pound rhubarb cut into 1/2 inch pieces, about 3.5 cups. 6 ounce raspberries, 1.5 cups, 12 ounces sugar, 1.5 cups, 2 strips lemon zest, each about 3 inches by 1/2 inch, plus 1 tablespoon fresh juice, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, we use Diamond Crystal. Bring rhubarb, raspberries, sugar, lemon zest, and juice, and salt to a boil in a heavy pot, stirring oven. Cook, continuing to stir often until bubbles slow. Foam subsides, fruit rises to the top, and jam sticks to a wooden or metal spoon when lifted from the mixture, 8 to 10 minutes. Let cool completely, about 2 hours. Refrigerate in an airtight container until cold, at least 4 hours and up to 1 month, or freeze up to 3 months. Active time 30 minutes, total time 30 minutes plus cooling and chilling, makes 2.5 cups. Rhubarb apple almond cobbler. Cobbler is perfect for kids to bake on Mother's Day. The steps are few and easy to follow, and it requires no decorative contortions. You just drop the dough over the top, brush on heavy cream, add sliced almonds, and bake. It's also a marriage of opposite textures. Green Market fresh rhubarb and hearty Granny Smith apples, which give the filling structure. Both are low in sugar, so the filling calls for 1.5 cups with a tiny bit of ginger and lemon for bite. The biscuit topping is made with a combination of all-purpose flour and almond flour, enhanced by almond extract, which cuts down on the gluten and lends a delicate sandy crunch. Make sure to cook the cobbler until it bubbles in the center. When the juices are boiling, they activate the cornstarch as a thickener, preventing a watery result. For the filling, you will need 1.5 pounds rhubarb cut into 1-inch pieces, about 5 cups. 2 tart apples, such as Granny Smith, 1 pound total. Peeled, cored, and cut into 1/2-inch pieces, 2.5 cups. 1.5 cups granulated sugar. 3 tablespoons cornstarch. 1/2 teaspoon grated fresh ginger. 2 teaspoons fresh lemon juice. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. We use Diamond Crystal. And for the biscuit, you will need 1.5 cups unbleached all-purpose flour, 1/4 cup finely ground almond flour, 1/4 cup granulated sugar, 1¾ teaspoons baking powder, 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt, we use Diamond Crystal, 6 tablespoons cold and salted butter cut into pieces, 3/4 cup heavy cream plus more for brushing and serving, 1/4 teaspoon pure almond extract, optional, and sliced almonds and fine sanding sugar for sprinkling, optional. Step 1. For the filling. Preheat oven to 375 degrees. In a large bowl, combine rhubarb, apples, granulated sugar, cornstarch, ginger, lemon juice, and salt. Transfer to a 2.5 to 3 quart baking dish or 9 by 13 inch baking pan. Step 2. For the biscuit. Whisk together both flours, granulated sugar, baking powder, and salt. Add butter. Using your fingers, work it into dry ingredients until largest pieces are the size of small peas. Add cream and almond extract. Stir with a fork until a soft, sticky dough forms. Scatter in small clumps evenly over fruit in baking dish. Brush dough with cream. Sprinkle with almonds, then sanding sugar. Step 3. Bake until cobbler is bubbly in center and biscuits are golden brown, 55 to 60 minutes. If browning too quickly, tent with foil after about 45 minutes. Let cool on a wire rack at least 1 hour before serving warm or at room temperature, topped with more cream. Active time 30 minutes, total time 1 hour 30 minutes plus cooling, serve 6 to 8. That story was Pretty and Pink, text by Christian Wright, recipes by Sarah Carey. The next story is Good Living Tastemaker, The Glow Pro, by Melissa Ozawa. Rosemary Swift, founder of RMS Beauty of Savannah, Georgia. A big career in beauty was never part of Swift's plan. She just wanted to buy a microphone for her rock band. To pay for it, she worked in a burlesque clubs in Vancouver, British Columbia, painting the faces of the dancers. She learned she had a talent for it, and after filling in on a local magazine shoot, the accidental makeup artist started trotting the globe for Louis Vuitton and Victoria's Secret ad campaigns, and Vogue and W fashion features. Along the way, a series of ailments, hair and memory loss, anxiety, and insomnia, slowed her way down, so she detoxed her life of potentially harmful chemicals, eating mostly raw organic foods, and in 2005 began mixing her own natural makeup. Models loved her formulas, and 4 years later she launched RMS Beauty, a clean line made from ingredients like cold-pressed, certified organic coconut oil, and adaptogenic herbs with no preservatives. "I wanted them to be almost edible," she says of her moisturizing lip, cheek, and concealer shades, soothing oils, and luminizers that leave skin looking kissed by candlelight. To showcase that effect, Swift wears minimalist black and white every day, like the rock star she is. "I prefer to dress from the neck up," she says. Her Essentials. 1. Astrology for the Soul by Jan Spiller. I'm fascinated by how a person's soul and personality function together. From Bantam, $16 at janspiller.com. That's JANSPILLER.com. 2. Theory fitted shirt in good cotton. This is a white button-down collared shirt. I wear this untucked with black jeans when I want to chic myself up for an evening. From $255 at theory.com. That's theory.com. 3. RMS Beauty Wild with Desire Lipstick in RMS Red. This is a bright red lipstick. It's a user-friendly shade with some warmth to it that complements a lot of skin tones. For $28 at rmsbeauty.com. That's rmsbeauty.com. 4. Numi Aged Earl Grey Tea. I've never had coffee. Instead, I drink this organic tea flavored with real bergamot. $7.50 for 18 bags at shot.numitea.com. That's shop.numitea.com. 5. Living Tree Community Foods Turmeric. I also boil water and add a scoop of this, plus thin slices of ginger, a squeeze of Meyer lemon, and honey. I drink it all the time. $11 for 4.5 ounces at livingtreecommunityfoods.com. That's livingtreecommunityfoods.com. 6. Fisker's Floral Pruners. They're sharp and strong. I use them to tame the ivy climbing up my house and my enormous jasmine bushes. $18 at fiskars.com. That's fiskars.com. 7. West Elm Pure Recycled Glass Vase. This is a clear glass vase with a large rounded base that becomes thinner as it goes up the neck, and it is filled with white lilies. I love to gather a huge bunch of white lilies and put them in this vase on the black piano in my living room. From $40 at westelm.com. That's westelm.com. 8. AG Prima Jeans in Super Black. These are black straight leg jeans. The pockets are in the right place, which makes my butt look good. If they're too low, it can look saggy. $188 at agjeans.com. That's agjeans.com. 9. Salvatore Ferragamo Calfskin Gancio Continental Zip Around Wallet. This is a black, long, thin, rectangular wallet, and it has a horseshoe imprinted on the side. It's great quality and has a lot of spaces for my cards. I can also slip my phone inside. For $530 at ferragamo.com. That's ferragamo.com. 10. Raleigh Venture Two-Step Through Bicycle. I put Ruby Moon, my gold dust Yorkie, in the front basket and bike around Savannah. $700 at raleighusa.com. That's raleighusa.com. 11. Sur La Table Traditional Bamboo Spoon. I can't cook without a wooden spoon. $7 at surlatable.com. That's surlatable.com. 12. Be Green Organic Cotton Women's Briefs. This is a black plain pair of women's brief underwear. They're comfortable and stay in place, no granny lines. $16 at bgreen.com. That's bgreen.com. 13. Bowl and Branch Signature Hemmed Sheet Set. These are white satin sheets. I like these organic sheets so much, I bought them for all the beds in my house. From $188 at bollandbranch.com, that's bollandbranch.com. 14. Wildlight Honey Ohoopie Gold. I discovered this at my local farmer's market. It's raw and filtered and so delicious. $20 for 16 milliliters at wildlighthoney.com. That's wildlighthoney.com. 15. RMS Beauty Beauty Oil. It's a blend of jojoba oil and adaptogenic herbs like turmeric, St. John's wort, and ashwagandha that I apply to wet skin. It's very concentrated. A little goes a long way. $78 for 1 ounce at rmsbeauty.com. That's rmsbeauty.com. Role model. Audrey Hepburn is my fashion icon. My style goes with my makeup. Classic with a hint of sophistication. Objet j'adore. I have a fetish for antique mirrors. I collect ones from the late 1800s and early 1900s, and scour Alex Raskin Antiques, a shop in Savannah, for finds. Royal treatment. I'm not a wine drinker, but I love a Dumenet in soda. It's very refreshing. I heard the aperitif is a favorite of Queen Elizabeth's. Eco mission. We use glass and metal containers whenever possible and hope to offer refillable ones soon. That story was Good Living Tastemaker, The Glow Pro, by Melissa Ozawa. That concludes today's readings from Martha Stewart Living. This has been Morgan Mallon for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3. On this week's Texas Monthly Archives, we're reading articles featuring the world-famous Chicken Ranch. So we're following in that same theme with our audio-described movie, Saturday Night.
Texas has a whorehouse in it.
The hospitality and friendliness never changed, and neither did Miss Woola Jean's strict set of rules. She liked her ladies, as she called them, to treat her customers real good, but never in an unladylike way. It wasn't always easy in them days to come up with hard cash.
Well, you just keep that in the bag and I'll take it out back as soon as we're finished.
So for a while, as the story goes, the girls began accepting poultry in trade. And that's how the place got its name, the Chicken Ranch.
It's just a village, but an old-time country place. Nothing too high tone. Just lots of good will and maybe one small thrill, but there's nothing dirty going on.
So you know how hard this is for me to say. I love you. Will you marry me?
Oh, Ed Earl, I've loved you since I was 16 years old. But I've thought about this for a long time. And as much as I'd love for it to work, I know deep down in my heart it ain't never going to be.
And I will always love you. I will always love you.
Dolly Parton, Burt Reynolds, Jem Nabors, and Dom DeLuise star in the audio-described musical The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
To bring us up to time for our next regularly scheduled program, we now bring you the following informative feature.
Fecal immune test, colon cancer detector. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 74-year-old male, and I recently received a negative result from my mail-in fecal test. I have been on an every 5 years colonoscopy cycle for the past 20 years. Non-cancerous polyps were always found. And since my colorectal surgeon recently retired, I decided to use the FIT. Since then, I have been told that the FIT is not reliable for those on my cycle. With my insurance plan, which has a high out-of-pocket, I would be paying the full colonoscopy cost if polyps are found, no cost if no polyps, since it is considered a different procedure. My question is, can I rely on the FIT results? RD. Answer. A FIT test is a fecal immunochemical test for blood. It is superior to the standard Guaiac tests, stool cards, that have been done for many years because it can find more cases of colon cancer and has no more false positive tests. Because it is quite sensitive, A negative test means it is unlikely you have colon cancer. One study estimated that in an average risk population, a person with a negative FIT test is 94% likely not to have had any kind of advanced